Hello, and welcome to the Book Club Haters Book Club,
a podcast where we discuss the books we love and otherwise. I'm Noor.
And I'm Tia.
Just like as a, I don't know what it is called, but it's like you might hear some banging sounds, and that's from the, I don't even know what it's called. It's like basically landworks next to my house. It cannot be avoided. Sorry, everybody, in advance.
What's the Malay word that you use to describe it?
It's menembok.
Menembok tanah, right?
Yeah, just like literally punching the ground. So it's compacted and flat.
Super intense work there.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about 2020 reads. Just as a refresher / reflection.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. We haven't really prepared anything for this episode, as per usual.
Yeah, we just opened our Goodreads and we'll just go from there.
That's the only preparation we're doing.
Yep.
Okay, so should we start with what was your favorite book this year?
Ooh, yeah, okay. That's kind of hard for me, but yeah, let's do that.
Sure.
What was your favorite book?
Hey, bitch!
Redirection.
That is so terrible. I think for me, this isn't a surprise. Empire of Gold was by S.A. Chakraborty was my favorite this year. But I think overall, there was very few books that I read this year that I didn't care about. That's the end.
Okay. So I do agree that like Empire of Gold is one of my favorite books of 2020. And I also agree that like there are a few books that I didn't care about this year, because I think like I focused more on what made me happy. And like, if it didn't make me happy, I'm like, fuck it. Goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good attitude to have towards reading altogether, I think.
Yeah. I would say like, the bulk of my favorite reads was in like towards the end of the last few months, I guess. I don't know why.
How come?
That it just happened, I guess.
Right. It was a very coincidental thing.
Yeah. Let's see. What else are my favorites? I loved A Heart of Blood and Ashes by Mila Vane, which is like a super sexy fantasy series with dinosaurs in them. Super cool. On the other side is Anti-Diet by Chrissy Harrison, which is about being against diet culture and how it fucks you up as a person. What else do I love? Gia Tolentino's Trick Mirror. I haven't read that one. Trick Mirror.
Trick Mirror. Right, okay. Like, I bought the book, I think when you recommended it, but I still have not read it. But I will.
Sure. Oh, you got the book instead of the audiobook?
I got the ebook.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would actually read the ebook, honestly.
How come?
I don't know, words, nonfiction is a lot. I don't know. My brain does a lot of work for it.
Okay, I mean, that's just how your brain approach it. I think I'd be able to read it. Yeah.
Let's see. What else did I... I feel like I read a lot. I read a lot of good books, that so much that I don't want to leave out anything. But I'm just looking at my Goodreads, and most of them are like at least 3 stars. I don't have any that are 1 star that I finished.
Right. How do you check if you've the star system on your
if you go on your red bookshelf, or like all bookshelf, your all books, you can see their title, author, average rating, and your rating.
Okay. All right. Oh, that this will make this easier for me to process everything. Let's see. I gave five stars to all the Hawkeye comics, nice. Obviously. What's this? 4 stars to Because Internet, Understanding the New Rules of Language.
Oh, that was a really fun read. Right.
Of course I finished it. Why wouldn't I finish it? Yeah, I don't know. Wait, we read Twilight last year, right?
I feel like we did, yeah.
Right. I don't know. I think I really hate Goodreads system and how bad it actually is when it comes to the design. Yeah. I think that's it.
We read
it.
Veronica Speedwell this year.
We did read Veronica Speedwell. Where is it? Yeah, I gave it 3 stars.
Because
it
was 4. Just wow.
Good on you, buddy. Yeah, I don't know why. I just wasn't feeling that book. But I think it was also because we read that during the early times of the pandemic.
Oh, we did. It was in April.
Yeah.
Wow.
What else can we discuss about, like, reflection of reading for 2020? I think maybe we can talk about you and how you just didn't read as much this year. Did you not read as much?
Yeah, I don't think I read as much. Like last year, I think I read over 100 books. And this year, I didn't even reach my book goal. I'm opening the pages now where I'm supposed to read. Okay, so the books that I've only read about 43 books this year.
That's not so bad.
In comparison to last year's 115.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's more than half. That's less than half of last year's.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is because I just had more things that I wanted to do other than reading. Part of it was also because I was broke most of the time, so I couldn't get new books.
Right.
I think that's such an important point for some people, because, like, if you are a reader, especially if you're a reader in Brunei, you do need money to read the kind of book that you're interested in.
Mm.
Because there's not a lot of choice in terms of physical copies, and some people may not know how to use the ebook retailers, and then it's also really expensive overall, especially if you read, like, those heavy books, where, like, romance is relatively cheap. Like, a book can go for £2-3, which is about $4 to $6 at most, but nonfiction, other types of fiction, like genre fiction, they can go from £8, which is about $16, in ebook form, which is, like, a lot of money.
I didn't read as much as I did last year. I think I read like 40 something books this year. Last year, 40 something books for 2019. This year I read 25 books. My goal was 20. Part of the reason I realized is because last year I was borrowing books from the library. This year I cannot borrow books from the library because of COVID. So I had to buy books, and I think I might have just visited the library once this year altogether.
Before the pando.
Yeah. Because, like, library was shut down for 2 or 3 months. Mm. So I haven't gone and visit because I'm still slightly cautious about it. I mean, we're pretty safe here in Canberra, but I don't know. I think also reading just didn't become that much of a priority for me this year because I have an active social life. The only time I have time for reading is before I go to work or before I go to sleep. And the past few months, I'd rather just be watching stuff before I sleep rather than read. Mm. Am I going to make more effort next year to read? I don't know. I'm not sure if it's something I will commit to. But I'm going to try to go for 20 books again next year.
I think I'm going to do that too. Like, not 20 books, maybe like 30-ish. which makes more sense to me. But yeah, I don't know if I would also prioritize reading books mm-hmm. next year. Mostly because I have so much fun doing other stuff now. Like, also because I have more money to pursue my other hobbies, that like books used to be my cheapest hobby, even though it did still cost money, but it was still like my cheapest hobby. But now that I have a little bit more money left over to do things that I've always wanted to do, so that's what I'm gonna do. Meanwhile, just like reading is I was gonna say side hobby, but can you ever have a side hobby? A hobby is also already
that
a
makes
side
no
thing,
sense.
Right? Yeah, it's just lower on the priority totem pole, I guess.
Yeah, but that's the thing, isn't it? Even though if you say that it is not the higher priority on the totem pole, it's still, you still read quite a significant amount of books that for other people, they're like, that's still pretty high up in terms of commitment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's mostly because like I read the kinds of books that I read, you kind of just breeze through them in a day. Or rather, I'm a fast reader, so I read like 5 hours a day if I'm reading. So, you know, that's one book a day.
Oh my God.
Or 2 books a day, depends.
5 hours a day. What am I doing at 5 hours a day? I don't think I even do anything, do one thing. I'm breathing. That's the only thing.
For like 24 hours a day.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can commit to. I don't think I can do anything 5 hours a day straight.
Do you notice any like new patterns in your reading styles or however like you approach reading and books in 2020 than like in comparison to the previous years?
I don't think so. I think it's pretty consistent to how I would read in previous years. I'm still reading feminist stuff, still reading anthropological things. Still doing comics, still doing mostly women writers. I did realize that earlier this year, I was mostly reading stuff from white writers and realizing that I kind of start reading more, go back to like reading more Asian writers, which is what I was mostly reading in the previous years anyhow. But I think for this year, part of the reason why that happened was because I was just seeking recommendations without really thinking about the intersectionality of it. And it was mostly stress reading because of the pandemic. And that's it, really.
Comfort
that's
reading.
The only change. Yeah, kind of. There were easy reads. Like the stuff I read this year has not been particularly difficult. There were stuff that was good in terms of making me forget momentarily of what a time that we're living in right now.
Mm. I think that's the same for me, where I went back to like the authors that I read in the previous years. And most of them, unfortunately, were by white people. So that's been me. And I think that's a point that I can commit to next year, or like whenever, like starting today, I guess, that I want to go back to reading more of books by people of color, romance books by people of color, not necessarily heavy books, because I still can't do that by any author. So
yeah
that sounds like something.
I think like because Brunei and Canberra are in pretty safe positions right now, it is something that we can put more effort into, and we're going to try doing that with our January book as a start. But I think I do wonder if this year, with all the Black Lives Movement, Black Lives Matter, movement, had it really impacted on publishing and making more efforts in reading, writing by POC, because there was a halt in publication for a few months. I don't know. I think it's slightly complicated if you're in the middle of a pandemic and you're just trying to reach the most comforting thing you can get. And it's not just you who's stressed in that situation. It's a lot of people who are stressed, even people who are writing articles about books to read and stuff like that. And when it comes to trying to get books written by people of color, you always have to make that extra effort. And I think this year I just didn't want to make that extra effort.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, it's a complicated, it was a complicated year in that, yeah, like, it was such a stressful time. Like, things were getting shut down. Publishing was being postponed and delayed. And, like, I think there was either in August or October, there was one day where there were, like, 50 books coming out in a day.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that was in October because my friend who worked, he was a manager in a bookstore, told me and texted me saying that there are like 50 new books in the shops today.
Yeah. So yeah. Like, how do you, I would say, like, how do you like kind of balance it out between putting in that effort and also like making sure you're not feeling the absolute burnt out, feeling burnt out by like all everything, but then that is also a privilege in itself.
Yeah, but that's the problem, isn't it? When you're trying to be as intersectional as you can, and sometimes like forcing yourself to do stuff that you don't want to make an effort, because sometimes like it's a day by day thing. Some days you do your best, other days your best does not necessarily mean the person that you want to be.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I did kind of excuse myself and I did kind of erred my way at the end of the year and start reading more Asian writers, because like Asian writing is like the kind of thing that I move towards when it comes to reading. So I did kind of just try to mend it in a way. But we'll see next year, because I still have a fuckload of books on my bookshelf that I haven't read and I really kind of want to read them and give them away at some point next year just to clear out the shelf. And they're a mixture of white and Australian Indigenous writers too. So we'll see. Yeah. I'll do my best.
Something yeah. that I just like thought of, like...
What?
I know we're like a podcast of books, but I do care about literature as well. And right now we are in Brunei, we're having the Tiny Lit Fest. I think I want to not read more, but like watch more plays, like screen or like stage, and more like locally produced, locally written stuff.
Right.
I think that's what I want to do too.
Okay.
Yeah. And books too.
You're in a good position in Brunei to go to those things. So you should definitely go.
Yeah. I do. I think like this year there has been some plays that are already, some shows, because we're relatively safe. So there are no restrictions. There are less restrictions, I would say. Like, shows are starting back up, and, like, you can go to events now. There are lots of events, so I might... But because I've been so burnt out by everything, that I just haven't been going as much as I probably should have. I think I can do that next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Do you have a book that you
yes.
just, like, want to throw out the window?
Huh?
Yeah, did you
ever as in I'm angry a book at?
In 2020 that you just wanted to throw out the window?
Ooh, what a good question. Let me have a look at the list. No, everything's been kind of like, there's been stuff where I'm like, oh, I don't really care for this much. But otherwise, there hasn't been any book that's made me angry.
One book that I was kind of like bored with, I tried reading it last year and then I dropped it, and then I tried reading it again this year, and I was like, huh, I don't care anymore. It's the How to Do Nothing, Resisting the Attention Economy by Jenny Odell. The book starts with bird watching, like how she got into bird watching, and I was like, oh my god, I'm falling asleep. I can't. What? This is how I do nothing.
Yeah,
but dropping this book. So that's one thing. But I've heard so many good things about it that I'm like, I really want to try it again. But it's so boring. I don't care.
I mean, I think maybe it's just bird watching as an activity isn't for you. I have read a book about bird watching before and it was just fine. I didn't really care for it. And that book was from a comedian that I really, really like. But I don't know. I just didn't get it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. The I think like bird watching itself. Is a... Yeah, like, and I've seen, like, I've walked past people who are bird watching, and I don't get it.
Yeah, they look like they're having fun.
Kind of, yeah, because I do kind of get a kick when I see new species of birds here that I've never seen in my life, and there are a lot of really colorful birds. But at the same time, I'm like, I wouldn't want to stand there and watch it for 5 minutes and identify its breed.
Yeah.
I do have a friend, though, who whenever I go around walking with him and there's a bird, I'm like, what bird is that? What bird is that? And he has such a joy whenever he answers my questions.
Oh, I love those. The thing is, like, I wouldn't love to learn about it myself. But, like, if I love hearing about people from people who love to do that in person. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, what's this? What's this? Even though I don't really particularly care. But, like, they care, and like it makes me care. I care more about their opinions than I care about, or like their thoughts than I care about the thing that they have a thought about.
Yeah, I've always really liked people who are enthusiastic about things, and I'll just ask them questions even though I know jack shit about it. And I just really like the look on people's face when they light up with excitement at the chance of talking about those things. It's kind of like if people ask me about comedy. And, like, I start nerding out about comedy. It's, like, the same like that. And I kind of understand why people just light up when they talk about stuff they care about.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, it's different than reading a book about bird watching, which is, like, because you don't get that sense of enjoyment in that there's no facial features that you can look at what you're reading. You're just looking at words.
Yeah. And you have to, like, think of the words themselves. Like,
yes.
It's a no from me, sis.
That's fine. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. What else?
Okay, one more question from me.
Yeah. Oh, this is very interesting because you went from 3 months of not having questions for question time to having a lot of questions today.
I know. When I'm, like, put on the spot, I'm like, I have nothing. But when I'm just, like, there's nothing, I'm like, yeah, I have some questions. Like, I always have questions.
Okay. Okay. Sure. So, ask away.
Do you have a book that you wish you had read this year, but didn't?
To be fair, there are a lot of books that I wish I had read this year that I did not. I don't think I have anything specific that I wanted to read this year. The thing that I want at this point... it's just for books to appear without me having to buy them.
What?
I just don't want to buy them. I don't want to go to the library. I just want it to appear out of nowhere in front of me.
Wow, that would be the dream, huh?
There are three books I wish I had read this year. One is Superior by Angela Saini, who wrote... a book that I read a few years back, and I think I might have discussed it in the podcast too. She wrote a book called Inferior, which is about gender in the medical field. And this time around, she's written a book about biological racial differences in the world of science, ranging like throughout the history, looking into World War II, eugenics, racial difference, etc. I wish I had read that this year because I think it's really up my alley. Second book that I wish I had read this year, but I have not committed time to, is How to Do Nothing, Resisting the Attention Economy by Jenny O'Dell.
I literally just said that.
Yes. You okay. What? You literally... Yeah. No, I know. Yeah, but like, I think I remember telling you about this book ages ago, but I haven't read it yet. Do you think it's helpful in etc.?
If you can get past the bird watching, yeah.
Oh, right. I thought you were talking about something else.
No.
I'm so sorry. I wasn't paying attention. My sister was texting me about birthday gifts and I was like, okay. That was my bad. I didn't catch the name of the title. So yeah, maybe I'll just get rid of this.
Maybe you can try like to skip the first chapter, because the first chapter or the opening chapter is about the like, yeah, why she got into bird watching. It's like, I don't care.
Yeah, sure. And the last book that I wish I read is Ask Me About My Uterus, A Quest to Make Doctors Believe in Woman's Pain by Abby Norman. This is about like chronic pain and endometriosis. I wanted to read this book earlier this year, but because we were in the middle of pandemic, I was like, no. So I didn't haven't read it yet. But I think I probably will next year, because I'm trying to clear out my Goodreads stuff, because these are books that I definitely think that I'm going to keep on the Goodreads itself and might not just get rid of them in the future. Yeah, begitulah.
Those books kind of sound like the kinds of books that I wouldn't read myself, but would love to hear
I know.
Your thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. I'll start on it now. No, I have one book that I need to finish, which is like a book called Contacts by Mark Watson, who's one of my favorite comedians. And he's a comedian, but he writes very, very good general fiction. And one of his books, 11, is like one of my favorite books ever. I call it my book with a capitalized M and B. And I remember talking to Mark about this. Like, I told him, like, 11 is that book for me, my book. It's a book about a person who sent a suicide note to, like, all the contacts on his phone. And it's basically about people trying to scramble to get him to stop. But he switched off his phone so he doesn't have to hear about it. I'm about halfway through. So that will be the last book of this year, I think. And then I'm going to play video games for the rest of the year.
Sure. I forgot you got that.
Yeah.
That game thing that you bought. I don't remember what it's called. But yeah.
Have a Switch.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah. Haven't played it for 6 months.
Yeah, I'm on like Goodreads right now. And I just clicked on S.A. Chakraborty's page. And
yeah, apparently
there's like extra scenes from the Devabot trilogy. Did you know this?
Yeah, she released them. Yeah, she released them like a month ago, but I haven't read them.
How do I, where do I get it? I can't get it.
On her website, I think.
It's not there anymore.
No, I don't know. Ask her. She'll, if you ask her, she'll probably reply and give it to you.
No!
Just tweet her.
My approach I think to like somewhere. Authors is like so weird, because like I feel like I don't want to... I know they're people, but I don't want to know their people, you know?
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
Like, I don't want to...
Yeah,
like,
they're demons.
Their books are their books, but their books are not their people. Like, I don't know. I just want to, like, separate the author from the book.
Kind of like She Who Must Not Be Named, I guess, right now.
For a lot of people. Yeah, I guess so. But, like, not in a bad way. I just don't care about them.
How about you?
Nada.
Okay.
Nada, because like I don't like, I really don't want to focus on things. I think like if I don't want to focus on things, I just don't think about them at all. Like they're not anywhere that I can see them, so like I don't remember them. Scrub them from my memory.
Nah, I mean, I don't know. I think, I don't know how, the thing is, I don't care. Full stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care,
I remember just like pressuring myself a lot when I was younger when it comes to reading more. But now because I have an active social life, which is really contrary to how my life was before, it's just kind of nice to just not use my brain a lot. Like I've been watching the TV show Taskmaster. Like I've been binging it the past week because it's like one of my favorite TV shows. And it's not even anything. It's just like a panel show where comedians do silly things, and it's nice to just not have it. Fucking is. I really want you to watch it at some point, but I don't know if you'd be into it. That's all I want to do. Like I just want to have a relaxing time and lols. Because I haven't gone to, like, a comedy show for, like, fucking ages. And I miss it. and this is my gateway, I guess.
Yeah. I also kind of like, I've been getting into like jewelry making lately.
Yeah.
Trying to improve my photography and like all of that is just, I feel fulfilled enough that I don't have to like, I don't feel the need to go into books as much as I used to. I wonder if it's like an age
thing. We're still reading.
Of course, yeah, we're still reading. We still have this podcast, for fuck's sake.
I don't think it's an age thing so much. I think it's just like branching out what you like to do with your free time. Yeah. Like, I think the pandemic made me realize a lot of things about myself, in that I used to think like, oh, I'm introverted. And then I realized that I am not.
I have never thought you were introverted. Dear God.
Not introverted in that shy in public kind of thing. Introverted in a, ugh, I had enough. I'm going to go home and just not get out for a week. I went from that to like hardly being at home.
Right.
Yeah.
The pandemic really,
I feel like I've had a lot of discussions. Like,
what?
About what? I feel like I've had a lot of discussions with a lot of people about what the meaning of introversion actually is. And it seems like everyone has a very different idea of what it actually means.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Perceptions, I guess.
Because like a lot of people think, a lot of people think introversion is just being quiet in public spaces. That's not true. I can be that too sometimes.
It's like feeling like drained in public spaces, I would say, like around people, not necessarily public, but like,
And not really. I guess it also depends on who the people you're spending time with. And I spend a lot of time with people who fuels me rather than drain me. I think it's also like knowing and being selective of who you spend your energy on.
Oh, I think like that's something the pandemic really taught me as well, where just like prioritizing or like basically being more careful of who I give my energy to and who I kind of like spend time and effort on, I would say.
Interesting. Were you spending time with a lot of people pre-pandemic? No, I don't think you were you?
I would say like I wasn't spending a lot of time with a lot of people, but some of them I have stopped talking to, like stop hanging with, stop like meeting, like anything, just because I just didn't want to put in any effort anymore.
I want to have this discussion after we record.
No.
Please, no, I'm kidding.
It was like not really anyone that you know, like it was just like basically like my older older friends. Yeah, but also like the pandemic has also made me feel a bit lonely because of that itself, because I stopped, like I realized like who I want to give my energy to, and the fact that the people that I want to give my energy to is you, Iman, Manisha, and Rao and Nasuha, but like three of you are in different countries. Well, Manisha is back, but
yeah. Temporarily.
Until March, so.
Oh, that's so long.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God. That's the longest she's been home.
Yep. I honestly don't know what that like, contributed to the conversation, but
I don't know. No, I think it's just, I don't know, because I've just had a lot of those discussions about like, I kept telling people like, oh, I think I'm introverted. And they're like, no, you're not. And then like, I had this discussion with one friend and we're both, I don't know, we have the same outlook in life and same approach in life. And he was telling me, I'm introverted and I'm also extroverted. Is that your phone?
That was my laptop. Sorry.
It tells you the time audibly?
Because I always like lose time.
Oh.
When I'm on my spreadsheets.
I didn't know. Oh God, you nerd. I love you. So we were talking about like the whole notion of introversion and extroversion, and we're like, oh, we're both just ambiverts, which means that
both
we are both. Yeah. Yup. Anyhow, moving on from the conversation. What were you gonna say? Sorry, I think I might have disturbed you. But also, it's really hard to record when I can't see your face and when you're about to talk.
Yeah, same. I just realized that we've been recording for like, is this our second full year of recording?
No.
Are you
sure? A year and a half. Yeah, I've been here a year and a half. I haven't been here for 2 years.
But have we not been talking about this since, like, have we not been recording since before you left?
Oh, not like long distance. Yeah. We've been doing it for 2 years already in January, I think.
Whoa.
Go us!
This is, like, the longest that we've, like, committed to a podcast.
But also, it's really easy to talk about this if you're going to keep reading every single month. Even if you don't read every single month, there's always something to talk about.
Yeah, books are just a fun thing.
Yeah.
That made us sound like such nerds. Like,
are we already not?
We are. I love us.
Okay, do you have anything else that you want to say?
No, I don't. Let's just introduce ourselves. Our book pick for January's book club.
Yeah. Where is it? I lost it. Oh, no. Okay. Our book pick for January 2021 is The Magnolia Sword, A Ballad of Mulan by Sherry Thomas.
Yay. Super excited. Love Sherry Thomas. Let's get this.
Didn't really like her book. That's fine. I think I might like this one. Because it has swords in them. I love swords.
Same.
Yay. So if you want to check us out, go to Twitter. We are at the Book Club Haters.
At Book Club Haters.
That's what I said.
You said at the.
Ah, well, semantics. And you can follow us at Songkit Alliance. I don't know if I'll ever get used to doing this exit-y bits.
Even though we've been doing this for 2 years.
Nope. We will never get used to it. Yeah. All right.
Bye.
Have a happy new year.
Yeah.
And happy holiday. Bye.
Bye.